Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey LeBounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios as Mark Lassiter does his on stage dancing to start the morning off. Mark, that's pretty impressive, pal.
On stage dancing, now let's clarify that. That's me sitting in a chair, bobbing my head. That's about as far as dancing goes these days. But I do like to wake up every morning to the alarm clock's warning. I love that song. You know,
Corey LeBounty, good morning.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you. 52 weeks out of the year on the Prep Sports Report.
A lot of big basketball coming up today, Corey. It's basketball day at the Mitchell Center, the capital city from Montgomery. Coming into town, bringing several teams, and of course going to play some of our better basketball teams from here in Mobile. At 1 o'clock, Elwood Christian is going to play Faith Academy. At 3 o'clock, we're going to have a little break in high school basketball. And we're going to have USA. South Alabama is going to be playing Georgia Southern. Then at 5 o'clock, we'll pick back up with the high school hoops as Park Crossing out of Montgomery plays Blount. Then at 6:30, J.J. Jackson is going to bring his Carver Wolverines here to the Mitchell Center to play Jeffrey Pope's LaFleur Rattlers. And then at 8 o'clock tonight, probably the marquee game if you're looking at rankings in the state of Alabama, the number two team in the state of Alabama, the Robert E. Lee Generals, come into the Mitchell Center and play Philip Murphy's McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets, Corey, and it should be one outstanding day of high school basketball. Throw in a little bit of college basketball with South Alabama, who's really done exceedingly well so far to start off this season as they entertain Georgia Southern. And, Corey, you have some activity early this morning at 10 o'clock, and I'm assuming you'll do a pretty doggone good job. If not, you will no longer be a part of the truck gang. I'll just put it that way.
Just excited that hoops is really all out now. You look at the middle of January, you're going to have the second annual Capital City versus Port City Hoops Against Violence basketball showcase going to be held at the Old Jag Gym. And you mentioned the matchups and the teams that are going to be coming down here. And I know it's supposed to be a rainy day, but the great thing about basketball, it's indoors, folks. You can come on and enjoy high school basketball starting at 1 o'clock. If you feel it's too rainy at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock to see the Jags game, there's the afternoon and evening session at Jag Gym when the rain is already going to be blown through. So you're going to have an opportunity to see the number two ranked team in the 7A polls in the state of Alabama, the defending state champion in 5A with the Carver Wolverines, in 6A with the Carver Wolverines. So just great high school basketball action today at Jag Gym along to tag team with the college basketball.
I do have to ask you a question, Corey. This is one thing I've always wondered. Never have asked an official this. Do you hear that chant that goes up, take his whistle? Do you ever hear that?
That's the kind chant. I've heard that chant, but that's one of the more kinder chants as officials hear, without a doubt.
Fans can come up with some stuff now. And I want to just address that real quick before you go, Rick. I know you got a lot of things to cover. But I'd really hope that one of the things that I have watched and seen over the years is a basketball game. Sometimes the fans can get too rough on individuals and too rough on officials. You know, I think it ought to be something where if it's not positive, don't say it. You know, the guys out there are doing the best job they can. And I know a lot of it's just fun and they have good jest, but if you're starting to pick out people individually, then that's outside the realm of sportsmanship. And so I just hope you remember that as you get in. I know everybody's competitive, but there's also people with feelings and human beings on that floor, and they don't need to be ridiculed in any way.
You know, Corey, one of the things that kind of bothers me about today, South Alabama has not been known as a basketball power. I mean, they've done good. They've had some good seasons, and when you look at the overall their overall basketball program, wins and losses, they hadn't done as well as they'd like to. And I'm sure Joel Erdman has spoken about that privately with coaches and so on and so forth. The young coach who's come in now from Louisiana Tech, I believe, Coach
Nichols.
Riley, from Nichols. He was at Nichols, that's right. Seems to be doing a great job. Why would you bring 8 high school basketball teams in of the caliber that they're bringing in today, and why would they play that those games in the old gym instead of showing them that magnificent facility that they've got at the Mitchell Center?
I think it's a situation to where if you look back a few years ago when we had the Sertoma tournament during the Thanksgiving holidays, the people along the Gulf Coast used to pack Jaguar Gym, and it used to be filled to capacity. And I think it's an opportunity for a little bit more intimate setting because of the weather or due to people just not showing the type of interest in high school basketball that we need to see, which is one of the reasons we lost the regional tournament, because of the lack of high school basketball interest and the lack of attendance. I think when you have a 10,000-seat arena, you want it to be an intimate setting. You want the crowd to be sitting on top of each other. They're allowed to do so in the new Jaguar Gym, which is home of South Alabama volleyball now. I think that that's an opportunity, again, to create a better high school setting to where it's similar to the high school gyms, to where the crowd is right on top of you. The fans are really enjoying it. So I do like it being at Jag Gym. You know, you have an opportunity to go visit the Mitchell Center at 3 o'clock and see the Jags play Georgia Southern, and I think that's a great opportunity for the fans also just to be able to be a less than 1,000 yards away from the Mitchell Center to Jag Gym.
You know, when you think about that, I think about the football playoffs. One of the things we've done is we've given the young men an opportunity in football to play in Jordan-Hare and to play in Bryant-Denny. Very few kids get the opportunity to play in a facility like the Jag Gym. And so we've moved our regionals as well. We're playing them in the Aquadome and at Alabama State. We're playing them at Jacksonville State University in a magnificent facility. We're playing them at Wallace of Hanceville, which if you've never been to Wallace of Hanceville, it's got one of the best facilities of any junior colleges in the country. I just think when you've got 8 teams coming in here, 4 of those teams are from Mobile. That gym's going to be a lot more packed today than it would be during a regional, because you may have a Mobile team playing in a regional where you may not. Today you've got 4 Mobile teams coming. McGill's going to pack that place. Blount's going to pack that place. Faith is going to pack that place. I can't imagine Blount and LaFleur. Yeah, both of them. They're all going to pack it, Corey. So I'm on the other side of that. I think Joel Erdman and those guys, I think that if you would open up that gym and let those kids play in that facility, in a facility that's a state-of-the-art facility in the Sun Belt Conference, I think it gives those kids a great, great experience. And they can play in those gyms like the Jag Gym, the old Jag Gym, every night. But they can't play in the Mitchell Center every night. That's something that bothers me to no end. I would love to see South Alabama play this Capital City versus Port City game, these games, in the big gym where those kids get the opportunity to play on a floor that is similar to what they're going to play in the regionals.
I think as it continues to grow, you will see that. Again, this is the second annual. Last year, 2 teams from Mobile traveled up to Montgomery to play, and this year they incorporated 4 teams. So it's going to grow, and I think because of the growth, you will see it eventually get to the Mitchell Center once again. But, you know, with the scheduling conflict with the Jags playing at 3 o'clock, it's hard to get from a scheduling standpoint to get the college teams in their shoot-arounds and to get a college game squeezed in. It's hard to do that back-to-back-to-back-to-back like that. You have to have time to get the college teams clear out. And because of the timing of the games and because there are 4 teams involved, it's just hard to squeeze all those teams along with the college game into the Mitchell Center on the same day.
Yeah, well, college basketball teams always arrive the day before. They've had shoot-arounds in the Mitchell Center. They've had a practice in the Mitchell Center. I don't buy that. I think this is a day to highlight that facility. I do. That's something that's bothered me ever since this came out. And I just think it's a chance for us to really highlight that beautiful facility we've got at South Alabama. So, Corey and I, do we disagree on this?
That's okay.
It's nothing wrong with that. He's wrong, but it's okay.
Not an uncommon occurrence.
Okay, for the Davenport case now, Pike County Circuit Judge Sonny Reagan has rescheduled the hearing for Friday, February the 1st. So that's a week after it was originally scheduled for January the 22nd. So that means the young Davenport lady is going to have a chance to play again and again and again. I still think that's going to be overturned. I still think that the Supreme Court of Alabama will abide by what the Alabama High School Athletics – and that's my personal opinion, because they've done it so many times, Mark. They've said – AHSAA runs high school sports in Alabama. no circuit judge can, you know, do anything to change that.
Correct.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on the Prep Sports Radio Network, WYEA 106.5 in Talladega, all of Talladega County, coming to you from Sylacauga and the Lake 101.5, covering the river region around 43,000 acres of beautiful Lake Martin weather.
Well, the
The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name and lots above it. This is your big debut.
Well, see, Charlie's running the board this morning. Dalt's on location and on assignment. So Charlie doesn't understand, in his infinite wisdom, that we don't mess with Steely Dan. We just don't. We just let Steely Dan do their thing, and because they are entertainers and we are, I don't know what you call us.
I wonder if we could do one day, get Dalt, just one Saturday, be the Steely Dan Saturday. And just every break, we hear Steely Dan all the way through it.
That'd be amazing. Hurt my feelings.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be some good stuff right there. You know, the Alabama Sports Writers Association, our buddy Ben Thomas and Josh Bean, all those guys have had their day. They had the Mr. Football Banquet at the Renaissance Montgomery Hotel and Spa at the Convention Center in Montgomery. If you hadn't been there, it's a beautiful, beautiful facility, and they had it this past Tuesday. And we had a lot of guys that came home with some hardware there, Corey, and I'm going to kind of go through it, and I know you're going to comment on it. St. Luke's quarterback Jermaine Brown was the 1A back of the year. Cottage Hill wide receiver Flip Rudolph was the 2A back of the year. Mark, guy that you guys played against, and you just raved about this young man. Flomaton quarterback Daquan Johnson was the 3A back of the year. And let me tell you this. I saw Steve Campbell this week, and I almost went up and said this to him. It would be a great, great, great decision if you guys offered Will Breland. Because I'm telling you, I think UMS right linebacker Will Breland, who was the 4A lineman of the year this year, I think Will Breland can go to South Alabama and get in that strength program. He's in there with John Turner and Brandon Dean right now, getting bigger and better and faster and stronger. I think, I really believe he could play at South Alabama and make a big difference for them down the road. I really do. I think that kid can play. And I don't know all the other players in Mobile. I know this defensive lineman at Vigor, Fred Austin, who's the 5A lineman of the year, is a doggone good player too, and is probably going to have that opportunity. But I'm telling you, if I had an opportunity to sign a kid and I had a local university, Will Breland would be right at the top of my list, because, Mark, you've seen him play. You've seen a lot of other kids play. Corey, you've seen him play. Will Breland is a player, and I'm telling you, he's been coached well. He's been coached by some really good high school coaches when you look at the job that Wes Latham did with him, and now Jay Cozio and those guys are doing with him. He knows the game and knows how to play it, and I hope he gets that opportunity.
Well, you know, I, like you said, I did see him play, and he plays. He has all those intangibles that I just think are innate inside you. He has that inner motor that never cuts off.
Right.
It's on. It turns it on when the game starts, and it cuts off when the last whistle blows, yeah. And nothing else. He goes wide open, plays there, and does what his coaches tell him. He's always lined up right. He makes great plays. He is one of those guys, plays like, I think the thing I want is like, plays like with his hair is on fire.
Yeah.
You know, he is just everywhere. And see, the young man, I keep forgetting this kid's name. Forgive me, folks at McGill, the linebacker who went to Troy last year.
Carlton Marshall.
If he doesn't help us see where there is, you know, there is a, to me, there is a fault we have in, we have to have this height, this weight, this speed at this position.
Yeah.
There's sometimes, folks, that people go against that rule.
Yeah.
Now, I understand college coaches, they have, I mean, I understand what they're doing.
Right.
I'm not stupid. I know what they're saying. But sometimes you get a guy like this who may not meet this standard at this position or that standard, but the standard he does meet is he makes plays every single time he steps on the field. He is a leader. Kids on his team rally around him.
Mm.
And it just carries over. He's just it's natural for him. So, yeah, Coach, I think you're absolutely right. I think any college in this area of our state and country in the Southeast, if they miss on this kid, they miss. But, yeah, South Alabama, I hope you come get him because I'm telling you, I think he's a sure enough. I think he's a sure enough football player.
And the good thing is, I mean, you look at his numbers. He finished with 146 total tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, 7 sacks, 3 safeties, and 3 interceptions. And there's not another player in the entire state of Alabama that put up those type of numbers. But here's a young man who's a junior, a 2020 kid, who you just every time you hear the PA announcer or every time you pop in film, you're going to see him around the football. If he's not initiating the tackle, he's leading the gang tackle. He's always around the ball. And like you say, he's just a coach's dream as far as just getting in the film room and understanding how to play the game.
Yeah, I think.
I tell you what, I'll be surprised, and I will be surprised. Just spend a lot of time with this guy, just like you have, Mark. I'll be surprised if Bill Clark sees that kid play and doesn't offer him. I really will.
Yeah, I will.
I'd
too.
Be surprised because he's kind of a Bill Clark kind of kid.
Yes, he
is. Really is. He's that kind of guy. And you know, heck, Bill's done come. They've already come down and got Spencer Brown already, right?
Not only that, I mean, you look at they added a key addition. Congratulations to Matty Ice Quinn, the kicker from Spanish Fort. He committed to UAB, so that's another addition.
UAB comes down here and picks up those two kids out of Spanish Fort, the Johnston kids.
That's right.
I mean,
no different. That's no different. No,
I mean,
they're no different.
Those guys were not highly recruited, but everybody down here knew those two were fine, fine football players that could play at the next level.
Well, Thomas Johnson was recruited pretty well. I mean,
he was recruited nationally.
But the quarterback, he wasn't recruited. And I said it wrong. I apologize to Jermaine Brown. Jermaine Brown has committed to UAB over this weekend, and he is the player of the year for a second straight year. He's just in a different class. Last year, I think he was a two-way back of the year.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
You tell me somebody else, and I don't know. I would have to ask Josh Bean or Ron Ingram as far as from a history standpoint. Tell me someone else who won a 1A or 2A or a 5A and 6A in consecutive years in different classifications a back of the year.
Probably not very much because, you know, you don't have much change.
That's right.
There's not a lot of
reclassification.
You don't see kids move up. You may see a little bit more these days than we did years ago, but still, Corey, your point's valid. There's not many kids that have ever done that in the state of Alabama.
And what about Cottage Hill having a kid go in there? Cottage Hill, the job that those guys have done out there, Flip Rudolph is a 2A back of the year in 2A, and my goodness gracious alive, who would have thought that?
They've done a great job.
What
Cottage
a job
I'll tell
he's
you,
done out
I'll
there.
I'll tell you, there's a little guy who doesn't, and he's not going to like it. I say he's going to mention Jimmy Messer is one of the guys who's helped get that program going, getting that deal over there. Their teams have upgraded their teams and their athleticism and the way they get after the ball. They play hard. They got good coaches. And, man, I'm just proud to see those kids doing so well over Cottage Hill. Good job for all of y'all.
Just an increased enrollment as a whole. There's a passion. There's something going on. There's a fire brewing there because when you have an increased enrollment, what it allows not only academically but athletically, it just allows you to grow. And that's what Cottage Hill is continuing to do. But you mentioned Flip Rudolph. I know, Coach, you popped in the film trying to scout him and watch him. And
I wanted to turn it off.
Exactly. And one of those when you had a chance to see him on Friday night and up close and personal, his blazing speed is just spectacular. So what they were able to accomplish as a program with the first-year head coach, Chris Brazil, who had been there for the longest, just took the helm as the head football coach. Kudos to them Flip Rudolph.
Chris Brazil has been he's been the athletic director there for a long time, through good, bad, and indifferent, and done a great job with that. But, you know, I just think if Steve and those guys at South Alabama want to really clean up, they need to recruit Mobile. I think the kids that have left here, Carlton Marshall comes to the top. Adrian Cole is another one. Look in basketball. Look at Divine Miles, who left and went to Stetson. He's Stetson's all-time leading scorer. Played at Blount High School, right, Corey?
No doubt.
And you know boy, and he came to South. I saw him beat Stetson, beat South, and he was their leading scorer both times. South, let's recruit Mobile. Let's keep these kids at home. That's the way we want to do it. We'll be back with more PSR.
My bad.
Okay, Charlie. We'll
we'll stay here, Rick. We'll talk some more high school football. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of other award winners, too. I mean, you look at Mr. Football going to Bo Nix.
There you go.
And I think that personally, Bo Nix showed up and showed out, and being a back-to-back state champion, playing for his dad, it's going to be prosperous at Auburn next year. Fun to watch him play.
That is. I tell you what, I thought that was the contest was a good contest, but you know, Tungavaloa was a pretty good quarterback too.
Until the state,
he didn't play great. Did you see him in the game, the semifinals, where he takes the team down the field?
Oh and, yeah.
Against Hoover.
Against Hoover with less than 2 minutes. So he didn't, but, you know, didn't play well in the championship game. His brother didn't either. You know, as you look at those things, so whatever went wrong. But, hey, congratulations to Bo Nix.
Well, he's had a great year. He's had a great year, and I think he'll do well at Auburn. I don't think he goes in and starts as a true freshman, but I think in the future you're going to hear
a lot
from
Bo
Nix. Well, he may do that. You just want to debate this morning. We'll be back with Philip Murphy right after the break. Big, big Saturday on the campus of South Alabama in high school basketball, right here on PSR and Radio Alabama.
The Prep Sports Report is brought to you by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR and the Preps. Man, that's Kenny Chesney, too. We messing with him, too.
Jack and Diane.
Man, Jack and Diane. Oh, boy. Be careful with that now. Got to be real careful when we start talking about Jack and Diane.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, let's go back to a minute ago. You said something about you didn't know if Bo Nix was going to be the quarterback for Auburn. Let's talk about that a little bit, okay?
We will in a few minutes, but we got to talk to one of the guys that we think the world of, Philip Murphy, the head basketball coach at McGill, had a big win last night over Fairhope, 75-62. They kind of got a little revenge because Fairhope, back on, I think, January the 8th, Fairhope beat them 68-67 in Fairhope. But they played them at their place last night, and McGill was able to win 75-62. Stopped a 13-game win streak that Fairhope had. Solomon Johnson's done a great job over there. And so McGill moves to 17-5, and congratulations, Philip.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Coach.
How you doing, pal?
We are great. We're great. Just trying to get rested up for a busy night tonight.
Let me ask you this. Every morning at 7 o'clock, do you have carpool duty?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. I'm out of that game. I do miss those days with you, though.
Those were some great days. We had some great talks, I'm telling you. But, no, Philip. Still there, still out there, still digging along, and love every second of it. Every second of it.
Those were good times. We solved a lot of problems.
I'm telling you. And probably created a few, too. Well, big win for you last night. I know Corey's got some things to talk about, but I know you got a great one tonight. I wish I were in town to see this 8 o'clock game tonight against number 2 ranked Lee of Montgomery. Should be an exciting basketball game. I look forward to seeing you down the road anyway, Corey.
Coach, you had the big win last night, and I know that on your team's mindset is one game at a time, but when you're looking at a huge area matchup game, now it's going to come down to a coin toss if you hold true and Fairhope holds true and wins out in the rest of their games in the area. How big was last night's contest for your guys?
Well, it was big in the sense that, you know, Fairhope's a team that, you know, if we're lucky enough to advance, they're a team you probably could see two more times. So it was big in a sense that, you know, our guys see that, you know, we can do certain things against them that we didn't do at their place. But, you know, they're a really good team. That was a good win for us last night. You know, this coin toss, you know, it's important. We'd love to host. It's not the end of the world if we lose it either. You know, we'll move forward either way. But I think the biggest takeaway is, you know, our guys saw, you know, with a game plan, some things that we could take advantage of if we see them down the road.
You look at Jack Flynn shooting the three ball extremely well, hitting 6 3-pointers, and your big guy Matthew McNeese kind of dominated on the inside. But what was the biggest difference in between this game and the game that you lost to them on January the 8th?
I'll be real honest. I told those guys at halftime at their place, game that we lost, the guys listened to the scout report. I mean, they paid attention and had a little urgency to them as far as their defensive matchups and schemes. And, you know, we took some stuff away that they got against us over there. And Again, just attention to detail, and our guys just focusing and locking in and doing what we asked them to do.
When you're locked and loaded, you're a very capable and dangerous team. And, Coach, since the beginning of the season, you talked about how you break your season down into thirds, and we're coming down that third stretch. Talk to us about the togetherness and the cohesiveness of the team that you now have, getting all the football guys back in basketball playing shape and finding that rotation. Because today, Coach, at 8 o'clock p.m., we need everyone in the city of Mobile and surrounding areas to come out and support high school basketball at Jack Gym as you're taking on the number two team in the state, Robert E. Lee, who came down here during the Christmas break and took a trophy back to Montgomery with them.
Yeah, we this is our third season. We're 9-1 in that third season. We've played really well since leaving for Orlando in the Christmas tournament. Even in the loss to Fairhope a week ago, I thought we played well. We did things really good. But we got number two Lee tonight. They are a monster. I believe they're 21-1 overall. Their only loss is to Sidney Lanier from Montgomery. It's going to be a great night of basketball. It's going to be a good test for us. And it's just a good measuring stick for us. I mean, that's a team that, should you advance, you're either going to see them in the state championship game or you're going to play somebody that put them out. So it's a good measuring stick for us. It's going to be great basketball, great talent on the floor. Everybody needs to get out and come watch all these guys play.
And your matchup again is at 8 o'clock p.m. The Port City versus Capital City Classic starts at 1 o'clock, and then there'll be that resting time to where people can go over and watch the Jags play Georgia Southern. But, Coach, tell us a little bit more about your upcoming schedule this week and who the Yellow Jackets are going to face coming down the home stretch.
Well, we've got our final area game. This Tuesday, we've got Murphy over at Davidson. Davidson's going to be their home floor since they don't have a home floor this year. So that'll wrap the area up. And then later in the week, we've got Baker. And then we're going to finish up with Theodore and Faith down the stretch. And, that's going to wrap it up. And we'll get ready for the area tournament at that point.
A great season so far for your Yellow Jackets, and congratulations on your win last night, and good luck tonight against Robert E. Lee moving forward, and just the best of success. Hope everyone stays healthy, and congratulations to you and the Yellow Jackets. Always a privilege for you to join us every other Saturday on the Prep Sports Report, and we thank you so much for doing that, and your enthusiasm and passion, not only for high school basketball, for high school athletics also.
No problem, guys. I love being on the show. Thanks for having us, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Take care, Philip. See you soon, pal. That's a good one, guys. I'm telling you, he's a guy that's got a bright future. I'm going to tell you right now, he's got a big upside. He does it the right way, and he loves kids, has a passion for the game, and just does a great job. I think about he and Terry Canova and Mike Knapp and those guys on Old Shell Road that just do such a good job, and I don't get to see a lot of the other inner city teams, but I'm telling you, when you put a Mike Knapp and a Philip Murphy and a Terry Canova, and I'm telling you, those guys do a great job and don't always get the best talent. I know Phillip's had to kind of change, hadn't he, Corey?
He has.
Kind of change his style, and because of the – he's got a much bigger team this year.
And that's one of the big things, you know, I'm going to continue to ask him about, not only tonight, and looking forward to seeing how that zone has worked out for him. In the preseason meetings, he said because of his length and because of the height of his team, he's going to have to play more zone because Coach Philip Murphy is a traditional man-to-man guy.
You're not kidding.
And because of it, now that they've gone to zone, they're starting to see success and learn more about it as a coaching staff and as players, and they're beginning to adapt to the system. So what a great game it's going to be in the Port City versus Capital City game tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. as they do take on the Robert E. Lee Generals.
You know, Mark, I know this is something you're interested in. They're having the bowling regionals right now, and I'm telling you right
He says that because he's seen me bowl. Okay, I'm just telling you, it's not as bad as my golf game, but it's not real good either.
Well, I'm telling you, the state bowling tournament starts next week at Pelham at Oak Mountain Lanes, and that's next Thursday and Friday. And I know that Wing Bread over at UMS and those young men and women have been having a great season and looking forward to it. But I'm just telling you right now, that's we're moving into. into areas of high school sports that I didn't ever visualize that that taking place.
Well, you know what I like about it? I think when we have sports like bowling and we have sports like fishing,
right,
things of that nature, where kids can let's say they're not athletic enough to play football or basketball or baseball, but they can play. They can go stand on a boat and fish,
right?
And they know how to do it, and they can get really good at it. And it gives them a place to take their skills and give themselves, you know, their place where they feel like they have competed and done something good in their high school career. I think it's a great thing. I'm really glad we're doing this. And, you know, bowling is – that's a lot of fun, you know. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying – you don't have to be you have to be athletic to bowl that ball. You have to have some sense of what you're doing, but it doesn't require you to be a certain size. It doesn't require you to have certain speed. It doesn't require you to have certain weight. It just requires you to know how to be athletic enough to bowl that ball down the hall. How do they get pins clipped off one side to the other?
Corey, I thought he was fixing to give us some fundamentals of bowling. I thought he was fixing to give us some.
Here's my fundamental. Don't roll it in that little ditch thing on the sides of it. I think it's called a gutter.
Yeah, those would be the gutters.
That would not be a good ball to roll, I don't think. My problem is those dang bowls. Man, I pick that bowling ball up and put it down by my wrist, touches the floor.
You and Bergen. You and Bergen.
No, Bergen touches the floor when he picks it. He's shorter than I am telling you.
I'm telling you. You can catch Randy Bergen and our buddy Danny
Spivey. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get me and Randy Bergen, Jim Sudahay, Brad King.
And we all need
the Mighty Mites. Let's go for a bowling tournament.
I don't know what would be more fun. Now, Randy can play golf. Now, I got to take
– I'd love to see y'all on the golf course. No, you don't want to see me on the golf course. Oh, Lord.
But you want to catch our buddy Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey. Absolutely. Every Sunday from 11 to 1. They're all over the state of Florida now. They've kind of branched out, and they're on the – they're on Radio Alabama and just doing a great job. And Randy's even doing some high school basketball over in the panhandle of Florida. Kind of caught him doing a little bit of that and doing some TV stuff there. And they haven't put a lot of makeup on.
They do the Bayside football games on Friday night. And I think, what grade's Danny's boy? Is he a seventh
or eighth? I don't know, but he's a good little golfer.
He is a good little golfer. And somebody else, Hank Miner's son is a good little golfer. And I think he's at Fairhope. And so there's some good young golfers out there and good bowlers out there. So go out and watch. Just watch kids have fun and compete. You know, that's what it's all about.
The thing I hope Hank doesn't do, you know, he and Doug Barber are big buddies, big, big high school buddies. I hope Hank
I'm not sure which one that's worse for.
Both good guys. But
yes,
I just hope Hank doesn't ask Doug to give his son some golf lessons.
No, he doesn't need to do that.
No. Doug ain't bad now. I mean, he's not a bad golfer, but I don't think his son may be a little bit stronger.
We love you guys. I love giving you a hard time.
Corey, everything tips off today at 1 o'clock out at the old Jag Gym, but 1 o'clock. Elwood Christian, where are they from, Corey?
Elwood Christian, when they popped up on the map, I had not heard of Elwood Christian, so I look forward to seeing them play. They have to be a competitive team and present a competitive matchup. That's why when teams come, it gives you an opportunity to see new blood and new basketball that you normally don't get an opportunity to watch, and that's why I'm excited about watching them.
We'll be back with more PSR on Radio Alabama as 2CC takes us out.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to PSR and Radio Alabama. God, you know, last week we had our buddy Wayne from Sylacauga call in. Every Saturday morning, Wayne's listening to us right there on WYEA 106.5, our buddy Michael Brannan and Lee Perriman, and those guys have done such an amazing job with Radio Alabama and spreading the word in that area. We so much appreciate those guys being a part of PSR and taking us down to the lake. Lake Martin 101.5, the lake covering the river region up there. And we found out where Elwood Christian is. Elwood Christian is in Selma.
Okay.
All right. So it's in the river region. It's in that area up there. And They are a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I think they play baseball and softball and basketball and play a little bit of football and volleyball. So they're a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They'll be bringing their basketball team down to play Faith Academy today, and that should be an interesting matchup. They tip it off at 1 o'clock, Corey, and then at 3 o'clock, the Jags are going to play Georgia Southern in the Mitchell Center. And then again at 5 o'clock, Park Crossing comes down and plays Blount. 6:30, J.J. Jackson. Boy, what a player he was. Had the privilege. Really, I don't know if it was a privilege, but having coached against him, J.J. was just an amazing, amazing player. Went on and played at the University of Alabama. He's coaching now there at Carver. And they'll play Jeffrey Pope's, the Floor Rattlers, at 6:30. And then the marquee matchup, I think, is 8 o'clock tonight when the number 2 ranked Robert E. Lee Generals come in and play McGill Tulane Yellow Jackets and Philip Murphy. And that should be one heck of a basketball game. And I can promise you, Corey LeBounty will be sitting at the table.
I will be. I'm going to be doing the PA for that. So I'm excited for an opportunity to watch some great Capital City versus Port City basketball action. And again, just come out and support your local high school basketball, because you'll enjoy these young men and the type of talent that's going to be there. Some of these young men, you'll have an opportunity here in a couple of years to hear them playing for Power 5 schools. And again, just the support of local basketball in this area. As I've been refereeing here, I've just seen these gyms, these local high school gyms, be filled. Last night, Theodore Baker at Theodore, it was a great area matchup to where the gym was absolutely filled at Theodore. So there's a lot of local passion for basketball. We just need to continue to grow the game.
You know, Corey, when you think about how basketball has grown and continues to grow in here, I think about the coaching. I think about the coaching and the players and the way these kids are being trained. And think about Ronnie Era. I think about the job that Ronnie and his people do in getting these kids involved at a very young age. And I think we're bursting at the seams. I really do. I foresee down the road you have a big facility that trains basketball players like Quarterback Country does with David Morris, what he does. I had a chance to sit down and talk to Reggie Copeland this week. I had a few minutes off, and Mr. Copeland and I sat down and talked, and boy, what a guy. He's so full of wisdom, approaching his 90th birthday, and just so full of wisdom and such an amazing man. His sons have done an incredible job here in Mobile and everything that they do promoting basketball. But he is Mr. Basketball to me now. When you talk about basketball, Reggie Copeland is Mr. Basketball to me in this city, in this community, and the way he served on the city council here in Mobile and did everything he could to try to promote sports and goodwill and just what an amazing man Reggie Copeland has been for the city of Mobile. Go back many, many years when he used to he was an SEC basketball official. He officiated numerous NCAA tournaments and Final Fours. Boy, it was always fun when you walked in a gym as a college basketball player to see Reggie Copeland as your official there. So, but boy, kudos out to him. And Corey, I know you want to mention something about your little seventh grade team. They went undefeated this year.
They did
a great job.
They did. My seventh grade girls team at UMS Wright Middle School: Cecile Brown, Bonnie Faulkner, Noel Freeman, Catherine Goodlow, Martha Kaufman, Amelia Metter, Sarah Bolding Parker, Sailor Parker, Liza Perry, Julia Russell, Addie Stewart, and Emily Grace Wolf went 11-0, and I couldn't be happier for them and the job that they did this entire middle school basketball season. So congratulations to those young ladies being 11-0.
You know, there's lots of really good basketball players in this community, and we have not we hadn't scratched the surface on how many really good young ladies are playing the game of basketball now. Corey, the growth of ladies basketball is phenomenal when you think about it.
And I tell you, you have to look no further than this past Thursday night. The University of Alabama women's basketball team defeated the Tennessee Lady Volunteers.
Wow.
And they were led by Blount's own Sierra Johnson. And it's hard enough. Alabama has now defeated Tennessee, the Lady Volunteers program, for the fifth consecutive time. But Sierra Johnson is a young lady. She was the Junior College Player of the Year. year. Last year, went on now and is at Alabama continuing her dominance. And if you're doing a scouting report against the University of Alabama, the first person you're trying to stop from scoring or getting the basketball is Ciara Johnson, because she's that type of player. And you spoke about how women's basketball is growing, and Ciara is the ultimate role model for young ladies about what is capable and what is possible for you, because she's playing on the biggest stage and getting kudos and respect from all the coaches across the country.
You know, Ciara is 1A. She is the second. She is right up there close to being the best girls basketball player that we've seen. Of course, Corey, you know we're the best basketball player, ladies basketball player.
You're going to say she's a Sylacauga Aggie.
She was.
And you know, you and I have this discussion. I just beg to differ with you a little bit, but that's okay. Shakayla Thomas, she was pretty special now. One of those young ladies that can dunk the basketball with ease. She prepped at Sylacauga and went on to play for Florida State, and outstanding athlete she was. And Ciara, she's in my top five of all time by far. But I favor Jasmine Bendolph and what she was able to do. She's my favorite local girls basketball.
Yeah, Jasmine's player. Something special. She's something special. You're right about that. She and Ciara, you talk about players that, hey, I'd love to see. You know, Corey, we get to see this guy just all the time. And when you watch this young man at UMS play, the point guard, Trey Bonham, when you watch Trey Bonham play, I'd love to see him on the court with Ciara and Shakayla. And I just would love to see that, because they are so amazing handling the ball.
Yeah, it's fun when you have point guards that can handle the ball and make everybody around them better. It's good to get the oohs and ahs from the crowd, but that's not really why you play the game. Some people make it look so easy, and you can get the oohs and ahs from the crowd by doing the little things fundamentally
right,
correct
right.
The way you're taught, and the oohs and ahs don't even faze you because you're doing the things that you just do second nature, and some people are gifted that way. And Ciara and Shakayla and Jasmine are some of those females.
Boy,
that were.
Good players.
Just again, man. Please go out and support local high school basketball, whether it's girls or boys. Boys and girls both are finishing up, getting ready for their stretch run to begin the area tournament as spring sports are right around the corner.
A lot of great basketball. Mark's been watching a lot of basketball this year, probably more than you've seen in a long time.
Long time. I've enjoyed it, too. I've been watching those guys and gals play, and it's a lot of fun just to watch them compete. I love watching kids compete. I love that.
Hey, I'm going to get out of here. Corey's going to take the next 15. Mark will take the last 45. But we got to get out and do some basketball playing ourselves. But we want to say this. Thanks to everybody who mentioned Jim Roberts. Please pray for Tracy and the entire family as they go through this transition. And we lost an amazing man in Jim Roberts. Hope you'll keep Jim in your prayers. Thanks to everyone for all you've done for that family. And let's keep doing that.